Individual names have been changed or removed from this program to protect the identity of callers.
We are back with you on Hope in the Night Radio, and I am Jim Kress here with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. We love being part of your life. Thanks for staying up late and letting us speak the truth of God's Word into your life. Practical biblical help here on a radio program we call Hope in the Night. And the talk show line any night you want to go on the air is 1-800-NIGHT-17, 1-800-NIGHT. 17. You can also call the Hope Line tonight to talk to our Hope Care representatives. They are standing by right now to talk with you at 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. Be sure to check out our website, hopefortheheart.org, and pass the word to family and friends literally around the world about the website, because they can go there, and as they do, they'll be able to listen to this broadcast in archive form at hopefortheheart.org and June's daily teaching program. That's called Hope for the Heart. That's formatted in a way that it's thematically based. You'll get to listen in on that, and you can listen again on that program anytime you want as well. That's hopefortheheart.org. Pass the word around. Let people know that this ministry, and it really is making a difference in people's lives. That's what Hope for the Heart has been about since the beginning of this ministry many, many years ago. Well, let's go to the phone lines tonight here on Hope of the Night Radio. And as we do, up first tonight, let's hi to Patricia.
Hello, Patricia. Welcome to Hope.
Hi, Jim. My name is Patricia.
Yes. How can we help you?
Yeah, I'm just pleased and thankful to be able to, have an opportunity to speak with you.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I'm a single parent going through a very stressful issue. I've live with a sister. I have a daughter, and like I said, I'm a single parent, mm-hmm. and never been able to have a home of my own. But the problem is, my daughter, she's a very good daughter, but it's finance that's the major issue. At one point through the years, my daughter, she and her friend let some people come into my sister's garage, and I guess thought they were helping relieve her of some property, but they took a loss of things, and my sister is angry ever so often. She'll try to forget it. And I also, she said at a different time, some of the jury at her house came, and I've always worked on little jobs that, you know, where the income, like I say, I've never been able to have a steady job or a job where I can stand out on my own, have a home, and, you know, be a responsible parent. My daughter's 23, and this has been going on for a while, and I'm in my I will be 62 this month, and mm-hmm. I know there are not many people that want to hire people that age, you know, and then it seems like everything is, no, I'm not going to say hopeless, but I wonder myself, I say, well, I'm not a lazy person. Why do I have to go through this? Why, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I try to keep my mouth closed. When my sister, just a few minutes ago, she raged around. She said, she's going to help pay for this, and she's going to help do this. And, June, I want it finalized. I'm a person of peace. You know, as my daughter, I feel responsible. But I just want to be able to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm. So your daughter lives also. Your 23-year-old daughter lives in your sister's home. Is that correct?
She has been living, but now I guess because of friction, she's living with her friend's family, and I don't like that. You know, her living with the friend living off of somebody else. So, you like I say, no, 60, I'll be 62.
Right.
And I want a home. I want to be independent. But, yeah, when I'm getting to the point, I want to be able to pay off everything. Mm-hmm. Would you please pray with me that
yeah.
God will let us be paid? Because, you know, I don't want family, you know, friction like this here, family conflict.
Well, what I think I'm hearing is that she, your daughter, invited some friends and
well, just let some neighborhood people, just let some people. She rolled up the garage door, and I guess they said they were cleaning out my sister's garage.
So they stole your sister's property.
She let people come in and just say, well, if you want this, just take this. You know, I said, what were you doing? Well, we were trying to have a garage sale, help clean out her garage. June, I cannot even untie this here. I couldn't even, you know, she said we were just trying to let people, helping clean out her garage.
No, wait a minute. That's not help. They stole it.
That's right.
Unless your daughter just said come and take.
She said come and take. That's what she said.
Well,
and that's
then,
not her property to give away.
Well, now has she tried to go back and get some of those to get all of the property that was taken?
She can't, cause to see people, the strangers from whoever passed by.
Well, now, explain to me, why would your daughter do this?
This is what, you know, because it sounds real dumb to say we were helping her clean out her garage. You know, you would do it with permission, wouldn't you?
If it was your daughter's property, that's one thing, but
that's
this
right.
is your sister's property. You can't do that.
That's right.
I mean, you can, but no wonder there is friction.
That's right.
I do know that there. I understand that you don't want friction, and I understand that you want peace and you want reconciliation.
Yes.
But that's going to be, you know. Obviously, that's going to be between your sister and your daughter. Give me the attitude of your daughter right now.
Sorry, sorrowful, and I want her to be able to have the money to pay it back. That's the only way, you know. I don't want her to get away with this, because, see, she's 20. She was about, it happened about 3 years ago. And she's still responsible, you know, if she's 15-year-old, 13, that's wrong. But, yeah, sorrowful.
Okay. And so what steps has she taken to start paying anything back?
Well, see, she's been looking for a job, and she needs, that's what both of us need, employment, and she's, you know, willing to pay it back, but she just does not have the finances.
Okay. Stay with me. We'll come up with a little bit of a plan here, that at least the best that we can do. And it's important that there be a plan, because that will show good faith. We'll be back.
Indeed, our Hope Line open, 800-488-HOPE, and our great material on financial freedom that you can call to order tonight. If you'd like to do that, a lot of people, we know that from our culture right now, in trouble with finances for one reason or another. Get the materials on financial freedom right now at 1-800-488-4673. And you are listening to Hope in the Night.
Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. There's an entire generation that has lost its interest in reading. They've been raised as a screen generation, where TVs, computers, and smartphone screens have become their primary source of information and education. As a result, they're missing the deeper lessons of biblical truth. While we provide podcasts, video, and audio resources of all kinds, one of the great benefits of our ministry is that we're drawing people back to the written word by applying God's word to their problems at a point of their need. As they discover the benefits of biblical truth, they're drawn to learn more, often leading to a complete change in their spiritual lives. As you consider a generous one-time gift, or perhaps taking the first step to give monthly, remember that you're investing in the first steps taken by people previously unfamiliar with God's Word, now discovering its eternal value. Your year-end gift will be a great encouragement to all of us here at Hope for the Heart. Go to hopefortheheart.org or write to us at P.O. Box 7, Dallas, Texas, 75221.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
We are back on Hope of the Night Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt. And again, any night you want to go on the air, that includes tonight, 1-800-NIGHT-17, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Mentioning for you also tonight, if you'd like to contact us here and get the materials on financial freedom, you can do that, 1-800-488-4673. We're going to get right back to the phones tonight as we are listening into June's conversation here with Patricia.
Well, Patricia, mm-hmm. Now what I think I'm hearing you say is, mm-hmm. I understand you're a single parent. Your daughter, age 23, was living with your sister. Well, you all three lived in the same under the same roof.
Yes, ma'am.
And then you said that it is your sister's home, and then one day your daughter allowed people into the garage.
Yes,
to
ma'am.
Take whatever they would want to take.
Yes.
Okay, let me ask I don't mean to be insensitive here, but is your daughter in any way mentally challenged?
No, ma'am. And when we hang up, before I called, I should have got so I wouldn't make her sound so not intelligent. I should have got a clear cut as to why you did this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is not normal behavior.
No, ma'am.
Unless she, was she upset with your sister?
No, not that I know of, ma'am.
Well, Patricia, this is not normal.
No, it's not.
There has to be some explanation.
It's not normal.
And in other words, it is the equivalent of... it's not exactly theft, but in a way it is. It's taking her things, and it doesn't matter if they her things were sky high and
right.
height. So it's going to be very important that you not be defensive. I know your heart. I can tell your heart mm-hmm. is to be defensive toward your daughter, but this is beyond defense.
That's right. And see, no, I want her. See, if it happens, it could happen on a bigger scale. It could be somebody else's property. I mean,
oh yes,
and somebody that's a relative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And see,
well, what does your sister think was the reason she did this?
She does not even know. But she's very, you know, through the years, she'll try to forget it. Then she'll go back in to the garage and remember things that, you know, she mm-hmm. worked real hard for. And I want my daughter to be able to get a job financially, take responsibility, and pay her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I want her to be responsible.
Does your daughter want to do that, really?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And she's and I'm not taking up for her. She is a person who, when I tell her this is what you need to do, she will be willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you saying she knows no one who took anything?
No, because it's just people like passing through the neighborhood, you know, passing. I don't even know how did she ask, or maybe just, I'm trying to figure out if she didn't have a sign, how would they know, even if you're just sitting with the garage door up, you know, maybe they had pulled it out You know, some people have garage sales. They had pulled it out of, I'm just wondering if they had pulled it out. I was so upset and still in shock, just very, very upset, you know, especially with her being nice enough to let her us live with her. Why would she even do something without a permission? And
but you know that she could be in jail.
That's right, she could be in jail. She could be in jail, I'm telling you. And that's what my sister said. You know, she ever saw it, and she said, you know, I could press charges on you.
Well, I have no explanation. I keep racking my brain thinking, well, like, for example, I thought, well, somebody could have held a gun on her and said I would kill you if you ever tell what the real, you know, I mean there are some extraordinary circumstances, but, you know, if at face value it's exactly as you presented where she just did it, there's something drastically wrong with her mindset.
I just wish that I would, you know, this is like a dream talking to you. I'm still pinching myself. You know, I said, oh, if I call, I'll probably never get an opportunity. And this is one time it catches you.
Well.
I'm prepared. So what I should have done is better prepared. Taking up your time, better fan the real truth from her. Because see, I don't want you to give you a wrong impression of her, because it's telling you how to gauge to handle it, you know.
Yeah.
And so I apologize for taking up time.
No, that's okay. It's just, I'm glad to hear that you're not just defending your daughter, whom you love.
Oh, no.
Just for, you know, because right is right.
That's right.
And wrong is wrong.
That's right.
And so this is good. Now, what I was going to share with you is this, and I would say this to anyone who owes anybody anything, and that means even to, let's say, if it was a doctor's office or a whatever, you know, we at times have different outstanding bills.
Yes, ma'am.
And so what I believe is right is to pay something, even if it's just a dollar.
That's right.
If it's a dollar a week, or,
that's,
you know,
right.
What, just to pay something to say, I know. And by the way, was there any way to estimate the value? Did your sister try to estimate the value of what was taken?
Oh, she, no, ma'am, she didn't.
Okay.
But maybe I can ask her if she can try to do that.
I mean, that's just a possibility. I'm not saying you should, but I'm just saying that trying to, what I'm saying is there could be some faithfulness. For example, obviously your daughter has something that she's living off of to eat. Is that correct?
Well, no.
No?
No, ma'am. But no, wait a minute. I tell you what, I take that back. When we get a monthly small child support check, she can take some of that and say, her Aunt Penny every month.
Right. Right. See, because she, you know, this money is really owed to her.
That's right.
To her aunt. And so, yeah, she, the minimum is that she do that. I mean, there must be some amount that she should be paying every week or every month.
That's right.
And to be faithful to do this. In fact, then I would, no matter what, I think I would say, if there's any way you could estimate.
Yes,
what,
ma'am.
You know, I know there'll be things that you can't remember, but you know, there has to be a way to do the best we can with what we have, or what we will have. And I say we. This is important that she be doing this. I'm not saying that you can't have some part in helping, but realize that. If she doesn't respond, and if you're just the only one responding here, then this is not in your daughter's best interest.
And if it's bothering me, seems like more than it's bothering her, And that's another concern, too, you know.
Oh, yes.
She should be feeling just as much hurt, pain as I am.
Well, you are 100% right,
mm-hmm.
because the Bible actually has a lot to say. In fact, it's unbelievable. I mean, I say unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It is astonishing.
I wish
the,
she was hearing you. Uh-huh.
Thank you. It's astonishing what the Bible says, all that the Bible says about money and
yes.
Basically possessions.
Yes.
But listen to this. Listen to Luke 16.
Uh-huh.
Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth,
yes.
who will trust you with
yes.
true riches?
Yes.
Okay, so I want you to write down this passage.
That's
and by the
I just read it a few minutes ago. I've been trying to read the Bible. You know, it's very strange. I just finished reading it.
Really? Okay, this is Luke 16, verses 10 and 11.
10 and 11. Uh-huh.
Luke 16, verses 10 and 11.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I think that's just poignant, so poignant.
Yes, yes.
And so, therefore, in fact, what I'll do, I'll send you, we have what are called biblical counseling keys
yes,
on
ma'am.
Financial freedom.
Yes, ma'am.
And I pray that that will be meaningful to you, that there will be some principles there. But a thought I have, now that I'm going to totally switch gears, and that has to do with you. I know you're saying that you wish you had a job that... Let me tell you something. I hear your heart. I hear that you are a willing worker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to tell you something that has been interesting over the years, perhaps over the last 15 years, as I have seen certain people who are getting older,
yes.
and I'm talking about a lot older than you,
yes, ma'am.
They need someone who would be a caregiver,
yes.
someone to come in. It may be to prepare a meal, but it's to help somebody elderly.
Yes.
And the problem is finding somebody trustworthy. Where and I sense that you have a high sense of ethics.
Yes, ma'am.
And I love that. And do you love the Lord?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, because you were reading the Bible. I thought
yes,
that might
ma'am.
Be the case. Well, I want you to pray about that.
Yes,
or do you feel that you would be capable of going into someone's home and, like, if there was somebody who was very elderly, perhaps weak, you know, just where that person needed help to do certain things
yes,
that they used to be able to do, but they can't do now.
Yes.
Because sometimes they really like someone who's more mature. They often like somebody who. In other words, to have just somebody who's very, very young, they may not even know the practical things of life.
And yes,
that, but when you live quite a while, you learn a lot. And
right.
So one thing that you could do is there are places, there are churches
yes, ma'am.
That, and I can promise you this is true, because I've tried to help people at times find someone trustworthy to be a sitter
yes,
with an elderly person,
yes.
and you could conceivably qualify,
yes.
And so you could contact, you know, several churches, maybe, or go in and say, if you have any need for caregivers,
yes.
For example, those who have, there are some large churches that have ministries that reach out to the elderly.
Yes. Yes.
And like at my church, there's a great need at different times for
yes,
this
ma'am.
Kind of person. So you just be praying about that and
yes,
see what the Lord would lead you to do.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you. And do you allow, I have your address, do you allow people to write to you?
You certainly can write. It would be a joy to hear from you. Thank you so much, Patricia. Patricia, you'll be receiving financial freedom as a gift from our ministry. It's called Principles of Wise Money Management. You continue to hang on to hope.
I've got a serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer. Then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our care center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
If you're walking in the darkness of depression or know someone who is, you know the pain and the hopelessness it brings into your life. Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. June Hunt has written a helpful and hopeful mini-book titled Depression, Emerging from Darkness into the Dawn. In just 90 pages, June brings a biblical perspective to the problem of depression, identifying the causes and characteristics of this debilitating condition, and offering practical steps to help bring the reader out of the darkness. The mini-book costs less than the price of a typical greeting card, but provides so much more. Call our care center at 800-488-4673 or purchase it online at hopefortheheart.org. And if you're a first-time caller, let us know, and we'll be happy to provide this helpful book to you for free as our welcome gift to you. Just call our care center at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673.
On Hope of the Night at 800-NIGHT-17, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Jim Kress with June Hunt. We do love being part of your life any night. When you go on the air, it's 1-800-NIGHT-17. Come on in and join us. And mentioning for you, too, tonight, make a call to order the materials on financial freedom. You can do that. Same number, 1-800-488-HOPE. 1-800-488-4673. A CD, a copy of every night's Hope of the Night radio broadcast, also available there. At 800-488-HOPE. Whatever it is you're wrestling with tonight, you want wise, godly, biblical counsel for your life, 1-800-NIGHT-17. We'll get you connected with us. We'll make up a first name. You don't have to do that, but if you'd like to, we can. 1-800-NIGHT-17. And, you know, there may be something that you've struggled with for a long time and you've never really gotten to the bottom of it. What's driving it? What's the problem there? What keeps you in an unhealthy place with that? Or just a place you feel like you can't be... you can't be released, in many cases, from the shackles of that problem from years ago. Call tonight, talk with June Hunt, 1-800-NIGHT-17. It's always a toll-free call for you, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Do check out the website as well. The website is hopefortheheart.org, www.hopefortheheart.org. That website, you can browse our online store, look at the upcoming Biblical Counseling Institute, just a couple of weeks away, and check out a lot of other resources and information behind the scenes of this ministry. Point your web browser to www.hopefortheheart.org. All right, we're going to get back to the phone lines tonight, and up next on the phones, we'll say hello to Lydia.
Hello, Lydia. Welcome to Hope.
Hi, June.
Hi.
My question is... I want to know how I can how I'm going to be able to deal with the grief of losing a son to suicidal, and also having his son living with us. His son is 19 years old, and he is the spitting image of his father in every aspect. And also, this is the time of my my son's, I think it's either the third year of his death around this time.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly around this time, I just 2 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with a mass on the adrenal gland and my kidneys.
Mm.
So I've been going through a lot of CAT scans and
yes.
everything else. So it's just like everything is just, I know, all at one time. And my thing is, lately, I've been just thinking back and saying, well, gee, you know, on the 12th of August was when my son disappeared. And he was disappeared for 8-9 days. And that's the day I go for my third CAT scan.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is just, you know, it's very difficult for me.
Of course.
It's like I don't know. I turn to God and all, but it's very, very, very hard between what my health issues and then his son, you know, my grandson, that it's, you know, you know, it's supposed to give me some comfort that is here, but sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at the, trying to find the exact date of his death. I know it was August.
You said the 12th?
I'll tell you in 1 minute.
Okay.
I have it. I have his card. Okay. He passed. He disappeared on the, I believe it was either the 12th or the 13th of August.
Mm-hmm.
And the card says August 23rd. That's when they had the viewing, but he disappeared on August, believe it was the 12th, and he was found 9 days later.
Okay.
Hanging from a tree, less than 25 feet from my home.
Mm.
Like, I see the woods where, you know, where that happened.
Yes.
It was, and that's very, very difficult for me, you know, I mean.
Well, number one, let me just say, it is normal. It is normal for you to have grief, because the Bible says there's a time to grieve, that there is a time to mourn, and that time is when there has been great love and then great loss. Grieving means that there was something that was highly valued that now is lost. It's a painful emotion of sorrow caused by loss of anyone or anything that has deep meaning to you.
Mm-hmm.
And grief begins in the heart as just a natural response to that unwanted loss. Understand that grief is actually a God-given emotion that actually increases with the knowledge about the sorrows of life. It's interesting that even the Bible says that the wiser you are about the grief that people experience, the more you yourself will grieve. In Ecclesiastes, the very first chapter, it says, with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. So I just want you to understand that what you're experiencing and what you have experienced is not abnormal. Obviously, you say, well, but the suicide is not the norm, and I agree with that, even though people would be astonished at the number of people who attempt suicide, as well as those even who complete suicide. But my point for you is there is also not only this normal time of grieving and normal loss of the pain from your loss, but also what you've described that you're anticipating is something that's called anniversary grief.
Mm-hmm.
Anniversary grief. Anniversary grief means that there was this loss, this great sorrow over this loss. And every year, when it's time again for those memories to come back, with that yearly recurring remembrance comes a yearly recurring sorrow over that past trauma, because this was a trauma. It's a loss, but it was indeed a trauma. And so what occurs is, I'm talking about what is really typical, is an involuntary time when your heart is pressed down.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart feels pushed down, pressed down. And that can mean the word depression, but it doesn't mean that it's a normal depression. That's based on this circumstance, this sorrowful circumstance, obviously correlating to the anniversary date of the loss of your son. Now, it lasts for a limited period of time, but since you know the time of the recurring pain, let me tell you what you can do. You plan ahead of time to process some of your grief with a wise, caring friend, a wise, caring family member or counselor. And the point is that many people who've experienced what you have, they've learned to do something that is, if you will, special around the time of the anniversary. For example, there are those who will have a specific, I'm thinking of several things. I'm going to give you several specifics. Sometimes it is literally planning a dinner at the time of the loss of your son. And then those who come, it will be a time of special remembrance where people could share something that was special about him, to share a special memory, to share a poem, share a picture, share a possession that belonged to him, where it's a time of actually honoring his life.
Yes, I understand, but what is happening now is that during this time, I've been diagnosed with this mass on my kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So all this time, like right now, I have 5 more CAT scans to go. Every other day,
mm-hmm.
I go for a CAT scan. What they're saying is probable, most likely, you know, this carcinoma cancer or whatever.
Like carcinoma, uh-huh.
Right. So what it is, my emotions are going back and forth because I developed this health issue during the same time, that basically exactly the same time of my son's death anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everybody is kind of like, my other two sons are very much concerned about me, and also dealing with the anniversary of their the death of their
brother,
and then my grandson also is dealing with both. Now, I am a born again Christian, and I keep trusting in the Lord. I do have friends that come over, and,
mm-hmm.
and they understand that everything is hitting at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I as far as going out to dinner and things like that, and making, you know.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it has to be going out to dinner. It could just be it could be even having just a special time. It could be in the afternoon, just where, whether you served anything or not, but just say, we just want to have a special time of remembrance of my son. And that everybody could be involved with, but just say, I want us just to all think of something that would be special that you could bring, and it's a time that we could just share. See, that type of thing can be very healing for everyone. Now, I'm understanding loud and clear that you are going through with these CAT scans and the various tests. That is a very different emotion, because of the unknown. See, what you've been dealing with is the known, right, in terms of the death. Now, let's come back and talk about that, because there are some things that I want you to think about that I'm going to share with you. I remember also having something. I had cancer, and I didn't expect it, but when I went through this, I didn't even know how I would respond. So we're going to talk about that. And fortunately, because of your faith in Christ, you can know that He not only holds the world in His hands, but He holds you in His hands, and He thinks you're precious. He calls you precious, and He has a plan and purpose for you even through this time of trial.
Still have questions? Our Hope Care representatives can recommend just the resources you need to find biblical answers. Call 1-800-488-HOPE or visit hopefortheheart.org.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart, available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
Hour number two underway. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt, and welcome back to Hope of the Night. Hey, mentioning for you tonight here in light of Lydia's call, some topics here. We want to talk about suicide and suicide prevention because of what she talked about. Also, materials on the topic of grief. You're going through a grieving process. That could be something that happened a long time ago, but you're still grieving. Get the material on grief tonight. Materials on cancer, which include June's incredible book on caring for a loved one with cancer and terminal illness. For some people, there is a terminal illness that's going on, and how do you make perspective out of that? Get a perspective. You can find out about these and other resources tonight by talking with our Hope Care representatives. They're there at 800-488-HOPE, and I hope you'll make that contact tonight. 1-800-488-4673. I can let you know if you want to go on the air. The number toll-free, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Let's get back to the phones, and we are enjoying listening in tonight's June's conversation here with Lydia.
Well, Lydia, I just want to say I hurt for you that you've had to experience something that parents never think. Well, I don't think people are prepared when someone commits suicide. And I know that the pain has been huge, obviously, because of the great grieving and the mourning, which is right for you to have. In other words, it wasn't that you just, well, yeah, just birthed him, but didn't have a relationship. No, I can tell that it's been very painful. So, with that, the reason that I mentioned having an event, some people all the way, they'll do a planting a tree that would be in a meaningful place in remembrance of this loved one. Some people initiate a project in honor of the one's life who is no longer with us. Does that make sense? Well, by the way, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the righteous will be a blessing. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing. And sometimes you will have an opportunity to be the blessing as you increasingly learn how to deal with the pain and the loss that you've experienced. Now, I'm understanding that you have had some diagnoses that are challenging. I want to be clear about exactly what did the doctor say. I know you used the word carcinogenic. Help me understand. I know you've got these losses, these masses.
Okay, I have one. There's one mass on the adrenal.
Mm-hmm.
Adrenal gland. That's attached to my left kidney, and it's 3 inches.
Mm.
And it's very rare, but they don't know. Now it's just a mass. They took a CAT scan, and every other organ, and like the pancreas, I think it was the pancreas, the result said the liver, the gallbladder, the pelvic, organ, there's no
metastasizing,
and no mm-hmm. evidence of lymph, no, and all those organs appear to be normal. Now, the only thing that they're checking now is I had a CAT scan of my chest done yesterday, and they're doing a bone scan and another renal scan. All they know is that it has to come out, whether if it's cancerous or not.
Mm-hmm.
They just say a probable appearance, but they won't know until they take it out.
Yes.
But all my blood work was pretty good, you know.
Good.
So they are good. Some good. In the report, there's a lot of no evidence and no and everything else.
Okay.
That one.
Well, would you like for me to share with you my experience?
Yes.
Okay. I was having a routine check, and I knew I had some kind of a lump, but that was not unusual. And the doctor kept coming in and out and in and out and looking at some sonogram. And finally, she came over to my table and said, well, I just want you to know you do have a malignancy. You will have to have a mastectomy and you will lose your hair. And at that, I just thought, well, what does my hair have to do with this? You know, because I thought that's not what I'm worried about. But I was very surprised because that had not been in my mom's family history. But I will tell you what was very unusual. I didn't have fear, which I thought I would. And that's what I want to tell you about. That's what I want to explain to you why I didn't have fear. And I'm not saying it's wrong for someone else to have fear. I'm just telling you, I want to share with you what happened. And I, again, was somewhat surprised at my response. And I will tell you what my thought process was when we return, but just know that Just because even you now sharing this, you're gonna have hundreds and hundreds of people praying for you. We'll be back. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. There's an entire generation that has lost its interest in reading. They've been raised as a screen generation where TVs, computers, and smartphone screens have become their primary source of information and education. As a result, they're missing the deeper lessons of biblical truth. While we provide podcasts, video, and audio resources of all kinds, one of the great benefits of our ministry is that we're drawing people back to the written word by applying God's word to their problems at a point of their need. As they discover the benefits of biblical truth, they're drawn to learn more, often leading to a complete change in their spiritual lives. As you consider a generous one-time gift, or perhaps taking the first step to give monthly, remember that you're investing in the first steps taken by people previously unfamiliar with God's Word, now discovering its eternal value. Your year-end gift will be a great encouragement to all of us here at Hope for the Heart. Go to hopefortheheart.org or write to us at P.O. Box 7, Dallas, Texas, 75221.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
Back on Hope of the Night Radio, thanks for joining us. I'm Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt. We do love being part of your life, and any night you want to go on the air, simply this number, 800-NIGHT-17. Now the Hope line, 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. And as you contact us here on that Hope line, if you'd like to, you can ask about resources. We've talked about materials on the topics of terminal illness. You may know someone who has a terminal illness or family member who has a terminal illness even. Materials also on cancer, including June's great book on caring for a loved one with cancer. And then we've talked about the materials on grief tonight as well. You can order. It's all toll-free, and you can contact us here, 800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. Let's head back to the phone lines tonight. We're listening into June's conversation here tonight with Lydia.
Well, Lydia, I hear... when you're talking about having to go to get this test and that test, I remember when I was diagnosed, with this mass and all. I just remember it's amazing the number of doctors you go to or tests.
Lord,
it's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what that's done? It kind of distracts. It takes me away from the grieving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I'm back and forth. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if you can understand, like, the emotions within myself.
Yes.
It's like I'm grieving. I know this is the time of my son's death anniversary, but then I have all these tests and all this going
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
and concern about, is it cancer, is it not? You know, I'm believing that it's not. So it's like I'm full of, and then I see his, my grandson walks in, you know, and he looks just like his dad, and it's like I'm in this little world of,
mm-hmm.
and you know what I wanted to mention that, which I think this is really, I'm not going to say weird, but I do find comfort through the grieving and through this diagnosis and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have a memory book of my son, which I open up, and I smile. It's a beautiful
mm-hmm.
funeral, and the flowers, because he used to be in the military, and he was at war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He came back, was it 10 years ago, 15 years, he came back totally distorted.
Oh.
He wasn't himself after the military.
I see.
But I find comfort I believe it or not, when I look at this, because the pictures are beautiful, and it doesn't look like a suicidal funeral.
Yes.
More like a melt, because they had the flag, and it
was... Yes.
Just, but between that, you know, that makes me feel better, and then thinking about, you know, this other thing going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never blamed God for anything, and even the death of my my son, when he was found, he had a closed casket. We have three sons, and they're like tight together, all three of them.
Yes.
So it's like I feel I've never blamed God. I've never said God, you know, or turned my back on my Lord and Savior. And even through this health issues I'm going through, I don't say, well, why God, you know, why? But I'm going to be honest. I'm between the grief and the issues. I do have fears. I'm going to be honest. I do get afraid. When I do get those fears, I go to the garden. And if I have something in the refrigerator that has a root, it goes in the ground.
Huh.
So I'm really just planting onions, tomatoes, anything I could find. And that keeps me going. But it's like I've never felt this bowl of emotions back and forth.
Yes.
I can't just sit here. I grieve for my son. I know his anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for momentarily, because then I can say, oh, tomorrow I got to go get this CAT scan. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
yes.
I don't know if you can understand.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And like I said, I don't have any daughters. Oh, we only have two sons left. One is in the military, the oldest, and the little one, he's 34 years old, and he's the one that always carries the bulk of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like sometimes I get lonely. My husband, he deals with things differently.
And yes.
I just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and I am fearful. I know the Word of God, there's a scripture that says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
In that order, something like that.
Well, you know, the actual word there is timidity, and it's a little bit different than what we think of as fear. In fact, let me give you a different passage. Do you have a pen there?
Yes, I do.
Okay. This is interesting. It's Psalm...
Let me write that down.
Yes. Now, I want you to write down Psalm 56, verse 3, and there's a reason why. It deals with fear, but listen to this. It says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. There are times when fear is understandable. In other words, God understands it. Because there's this unknown, and yet, you know, there are other times when we're told that we can put away our fear, or other passages that deal with fear in a different way. But for the times when you really are fearful, you replace that trembling with trust. You replace your fear with faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you how you do that. You mentioned that you don't know if or not you have cancer.
Right.
Well, most of the time when people think of cancer, they think of a terminal illness.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that the big C word always was equated with death, and that is not true today. Now, it can be, but it doesn't always. In fact, there have been tremendous advancements in many areas of cancer, or many areas of the physical body, where there have been studies, and therefore there are medications that were not in existence even 10 years ago. So while there are advancements, the fact is, who is the author of life and death? And answer that for me. Who is the author of life and death?
God is.
That's right. In fact, I want you to write down this scripture. It's Psalm 139. Yeah, Psalm 139, verse 16. Listen to this. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, and that means God's book. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before you were even born. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now, the reason I'm sharing this is I'm sitting here on this table and in this doctor's office. The doctor has just told me that I have a malignancy and that I have to have a mastectomy. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, I'm very surprised because I thought, but I don't have any family history, and I never thought about my father's side, but I was only thinking about my mom's side. But the truth is, it just was a surprise, and yet the first thing I thought of was, it's like God knows my last day. Mm-hmm. Because all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And then the verse after that I thought of was one I had never focused on before. It popped into my head. I had taught in the book of Philippians. And yet, in truth, I've never focused on this scripture, and all of a sudden it came. I don't even remember anybody prioritizing this scripture before, but it just came, and I believe God gave that to me. But basically, it's Philippians 1:20. And it's the last part. Basically, it's saying, you know, whether by life or by death, may Christ be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So I thought, you know, God already knows my last day. Mm-hmm. And that's true with you, Lydia. God already knows your last day. Mm-hmm. So since you and I share something in common, and that is we know the Lord as our Savior and as our Lord. We've given Him our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in truth, we know what's going to happen to us at the very end, at the very, 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 the last second that we live, and then the first moment of our eternity, our the beginning of our eternity, we are going to be where?
With God.
With God. We will. There will be no more sorrow. There's no more crying. There's no more pain.
Mm-mm.
When we're in His presence, and when we're in heaven. And the hardest time of our lives is now.
Mm-hmm.
Not once we are gone. So the interesting thing is, as I thought about first, you know, God already knows my last day. Actually, that was very comforting because He has a plan. He has a plan for you. And you know, you think there are two passages that I kind of coupled together. One is this Psalm 139 that I mentioned, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And then the other passage that's so closely related is Job 14:5. Because Job 14:5 says, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set the limits he cannot exceed. Let me read that again. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set the limits he cannot exceed. So, in truth, we can't do anything to go beyond what God has already planned. So, in light of that, that's why I thought, oh, okay, God already knows my last day. Therefore, how do I want to live the rest of my life? I really don't need to live in fear because I've already put my faith in Christ. And so my focus will be whether by life or by death, I pray that Christ will be exalted in my body, meaning that, that whatever I do, however I live my life, I will want Christ to be seen. I want people to be drawn to Christ. You've got this grandson who looks just like your son who committed suicide. He needs to see Christ in you, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He needs to grow and grow and grow in Christ, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So let's come back and talk about how can you pray? What should you do in the midst of the unknown right now? Because there is a plan for you.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our Care Center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
If you're walking in the darkness of depression or know someone who is, you know the pain and the hopelessness it brings into your life. Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. June Hunt has written a helpful and hopeful mini-book titled Depression, Emerging from Darkness into the Dawn. In just 90 pages, June brings a biblical perspective to the problem of depression, identifying the causes and characteristics of this debilitating condition, and offering practical steps to help bring the reader out of the darkness. The mini book costs less than the price of a typical greeting card, but provides so much more. Call our care center at 800-488-4673 or purchase it online at hopefortheheart.org. And if you're a first-time caller, let us know, and we'll be happy to provide this helpful book to you for free as our welcome gift to you. Just call our care center at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673.
Back on Hope of the Night Radio. Thanks for staying up late with us. Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt. And again, thank you for letting us be part of your life. I'll remind you that, any night you want to go on the air, 1-800-917 will get you connected with us. 1-800-NIGHT-17. And tonight we talked about materials on terminal illness, call to order, also materials on cancer. June's excellent book in the middle of that on caring for a loved one with cancer. Certainly we had mentioned earlier, too, the materials on grief. That you can call to order. Toll-free call for you, 1-800-488-HOPE. That is 1-800-488-4673. Right now, though, we will get right back to the phone lines and June's conversation here tonight with Lydia.
Well, Lydia,
yes.
Does this help at all in terms of knowing that you have tests and you have the questionable like the mass that you mentioned, this 3-inch mass, and you don't know whether it will be malignant or not. And that's the case with so many people who have tests that, you know, sometimes they're expecting it to be malignant and then it's not. Even the doctors will say, we really think it's going to be. In fact, that just happened with one of our staff members and with his wife. And so we don't know. But
no, because they're trying to find that because sometimes it originates from somewhere else.
Yes. Well, the fact that, does it help for you to realize that God already knows the last day? And
yes.
To me, it just made a huge difference. It's like, oh, God, you know, my last day was planned even before I was born. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So the question then is, how can I maximize my time now?
Mm-hmm.
See, here we have, you and I have this window of life, this from the beginning to the end. And so how can we maximize the moments, days, weeks, months that we have here on earth, knowing that, okay, God already knows the last day, so in eternity, mm-hmm. well, that, you know, that's no problem at all for us. But what can we do now? And I think part of it is evaluating, well, is there anything that I should change?
Mm-hmm.
Is there someone in, for example, and this was the case with me. It was somebody in my life who would give me a very, 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 very hard time. And I kind of changed that relationship. I thought, you know, if my time is less than more, is this how I want to be spending my time embroiled in conflict? And I thought, no, it really isn't. And so I kind of moved away from being pulled into some type of destructive behavior.
Okay, I see.
In other words, sometimes you change who you spend more time with so that you'll have less time with that person, or maybe it needs to be no time. Mm-hmm. But you know, there are some difficult people, and everything we try, or anything we try, doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, I'm just giving you something personal there. With me, I decided, you know, if my time is, and I ended up even saying that, if my time is less than more, I don't believe this is the way God would want me to be spending. I think I said, I don't think that this kind of embroiled conflict is honoring to God. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think it's right. And so I think I was just trying too hard to please somebody, mm-hmm. when nothing I did was going to please anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was actually... That was actually helpful. So I always think about in terms of the benefits of going through cancer. One benefit was, well, you know, I got out of that embroiled dynamic. Now, what happened was the relationship changed, and now it's not embroiled. But I had to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another benefit was I thought, okay, if my time is less than more, what do I want to focus on?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of several, or God put into my mind certain things to actually do that I might not have done otherwise. So I want you to be thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though right now you don't even know what the outcome of the test will be, you tell me, if your time was substantially less than more, are there things or are there situations you think you would want to either change or do or not do?
Yes, there is one situation. It is a family member. Actually, it's a daughter-in-law. And it's just, you know.
So what would you do differently?
What would I would, I guess I wouldn't call her and may, just because I wanted to see her during this time and tell her I have something special, which I usually do, so I can see her. You know, find ways that, or, call her and say, well, I cook, you know, this is your favorite, you know. Do you understand?
Sure.
I'm not trying to find ways of me. I can't put it in. I don't do it. I mean, I do it out of my heart, don't get me wrong. But it's the only way I can get her. Like I said, I don't have any daughters. I can actually get her to
respond.
To respond. And I... It doesn't make me feel right, even though it's done out of the goodness of my heart. It just, it shouldn't be that way.
Right.
So I, I would stop that. I would just, which, you know, I started that already. I'm glad you brought that up. I haven't,
Yeah, I want you to focus on something, or I'm going to mention something to you. There is someone I'm very, very close to, and she was very, very rejected by her daughter-in-law. And it was just so, so painful because then that daughter-in-law had children. And it's like there was just an attempt to keep the children away from their grandmother. And you know, it was just so painful. And finally, this person, who actually is a relative of mine, had to come to accept that, okay, if I'm going to be rejected, the fact is there are this daughter-in-law and even the children, they're not the only people in the world. And I, she said, it dawned on me, I could be reaching out to people that would really appreciate me reaching out. And why do I think I have to have my daughter-in-law? You know, instead, I'm going to focus not on trying and trying and trying to do everything I can. Same thing that you're saying. maybe the circumstances are different, but she said, you know, there are. She said there are a world of people who would so appreciate if I would reach out to them. And so that's what she started doing. And you know, it was fascinating because I watched this dynamic. And it's really sad because it's like I can come in and be with this daughter-in-law, not my daughter-in-law, but, you know, and she doesn't react to me, but she'll react to her mother-in-law, and she'll be very possessive and very, you know, it's just and insensitive. So yet we can't make people be what they should be, can we?
No, we cannot.
So, it could be that what God is saying to you is, you know, in fact, I will tell you a scripture that meant a lot to me. It was one that I really needed, and it was Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10, it says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God, meaning people? If I were still trying to please people, I will not be the servant of Christ. You know, am I now trying to win the approval of people or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be the servant of Christ. To be a people pleaser, in other words, where my focus is, oh, I've got to please you, I've got, you know, and because then we, it's like we can let another person take the place of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not at all what he would want. And so instead of being a people pleaser, it's just, you know, sometimes you have to allow a person to, sometimes you have to say no to a person so that you can say yes to God.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it may be that then God is saying to you, Lydia, I want you to evaluate I want you to listen to how do I want you to spend your time? Where God is saying to you, Lydia, I want you to be led by me as to how to invest your time.
Mm-hmm.
And you've already wisely become aware, or have you've stated, you know, I think I'm trying too hard here.
That's right.
And so, it may be that you need to have more focus. Well, I'll tell you what, let's come back and you tell me, how then, who do you think God would want you to prioritize in your life, in terms of what kinds of ways would he be wanting you to focus your time, in terms of praying for certain people, in times of investing? Is there any kind of a ministry that he might lead you to be involved in? That may be a very real possibility. We'll come back.
Again, materials tonight we've talked about here on the topics of grief, also on the topics of cancer, caring for a loved one with cancer, and included in that, and tonight on terminal illness as well, 800-488-HOPE.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart. Available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. There's an entire generation that has lost its interest in reading. They've been raised as a screen generation where TVs, computers, and smartphone screens have become their primary source of information and education. As a result, they're missing the deeper lessons of biblical truth. While we provide podcasts, video, and audio resources of all kinds, one of the great benefits of our ministry is that we're drawing people back to the written word by applying God's word to their problems at a point of their need. As they discover the benefits of biblical truth, they're drawn to learn more, often leading to a complete change in their spiritual lives. As you consider a generous one-time gift, or perhaps taking the first step to give monthly, remember that you're investing in the first steps taken by people previously unfamiliar with God's Word, now discovering its eternal value. Your year-end gift will be a great encouragement to all of us here at Hope for the Heart. Go to hopefortheheart.org or write to us at P.O. Box 7, Dallas, Texas, 75221.
back on Hope of the Night Radio. Final segment tonight. Jim Kress with June Hunt. Thanks for listening. Reminding you again that I'd like to call to order materials we have tonight on the topic of grief, also on terminal illness, and on cancer. You can order these tonight. They're all biblical, practical, and relevant, and you can order them at 1-800-488-4673. Right now, let's hurry back to the phone. So I'm picking up with June's conversation with Lydia.
All right, Lydia.
Okay.
Have you been thinking about it?
Yes, I have.
Okay, what have you come up with? We're talking about now. We know that God already knows, based on the Bible, God knows your last day, my last day. He knows everybody's last day. And that's because the Bible says all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So before we were born, he knew what our last day would be. So with that, we know that he knows. And we know also he knows how we can best live our lives so that we can maximize our moments, maximize the time we have. And so tell me what God has put into your mind.
As far as ministry, I like working with the elderly.
Oh.
I was working as a home health aide, and I'm just got that with the elderly people, and I'm very good. God has helped me. In the place where I work, I deal with patients, residents that are on hospice.
Oh, really?
And I have stayed by their side during the time of their, you know, last days, and even up to the time where my son and everybody at work was always trying to shelter me from it, especially the first, I had to go back to work after my son passed away, committed suicide. And then we had a couple residents that they were on my assignment, and my work colleagues and my staff was sheltering me from it. You know, like, well, you don't need to be there because, you know, you're supposed to be your son. But it didn't didn't bother me. I took care of them, and even after they died, I washed them up and had them ready for the family members. Mm. So God has given me that I don't, though I had just lost my son and all, yet it didn't, they were trying to shelter me, but to me, it didn't, but what I'm trying to say, it didn't tear me apart or...
Yes.
You know, I continue to help them and do what I had to do out of, not just because I had to, but with the compassion for the families and
yes. I want you to know, I think hospice care is absolutely phenomenal. I so respect that you are part of that. Because I don't know of a greater ministry. I mean that with all my heart. There are some ministries that are as powerful, but not more powerful than hospice care.
Mm-hmm.
That is fantastic that you are a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what an investment in people's lives. And you would know what it's like to hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well... Well, that impresses me. Okay, so you're saying that in regard to your ministry, it is basically to the elderly, home health aid, and then this hospice care, which is just marvelous because they prepare people for death, and they see the compassion is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So you must be a very compassionate person to be chosen to do that. Wow. Okay. Now what? Okay. You said that you thought about your ministry. Is there anything you would do differently in regard to your ministry?
No.
Okay. It's just that you would continue to help people in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Does anything else come to mind?
Also, others who have lost sons to suicidal, and especially that. I know they go through a time where they blame God and everything, but, you know, I just can share with them how I felt when I lost my son, and how, you know, just that he was gone for 9 days and I didn't know where he was, and God was there for me and gave me the strength to, you know, go through it. And you just, you know, like, I didn't know. And what I can just share with them that, and ministering to them, that the best way to feel comfort is, I always say, thank you, God, for giving me giving me my son for 36 years.
Yes.
He would have been 39 July 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
So for 36 years. And to know that God is always there, you know, and no matter what.
Yes.
Yes. In that area, you know, I feel, because it, anything that it has to do with compassion, it's like, you know, along with the Word of God, sometimes I'm better at ministering to others than I am at ministering to myself.
You know, isn't that interesting that when God enables you to touch the hearts of people, there is joy, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
And real fulfillment, though.
I had a smile. I was smiling while I was saying, you know. Because it does. It just brings, I smile right now, you know, it brings.
Wow. And so, is there a support group that you were a part of, or that you are a part of, for moms who have lost loved ones to suicide?
No, I tried to find one, and it was pretty difficult because I don't drive, and most of them were, you know, a far distance.
Mm-hmm.
So my only, I've only just prayer and you know, close friends. I have a friend who's a very close friend of mine.
She's
been by my side, you know, through all this.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
You know, no, I haven't. I've never been gone, even though with my health issues and losing my son and all, I've never really been into a depression or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had my days, but never had to take any type of medication for, you know, because, you know, I always keep trusting in the Lord, you know.
Yes, yes. Well, I think that is a sign of you being able to see that life is beyond that circumstance. Because many people, they're totally caught up in one circumstance that's been a trauma that's been certainly painful, and yet clearly.
I do want to mention something.
Yes.
It took a whole year because, okay, from my home, there's a little field, and where my son hung himself was in a little creek where he used to play. We've been living in this area for many years. We used to play as a young child.
Yes.
And it took a whole year before, because I would walk over to the, because I could see the tree behind one of the other houses. It took a whole year before I went, like I would walk to the field, and when because it's a little path.
Yes.
And I wanted to walk that path to the tree. And I started many times, but I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, I came outside, and my youngest son was out there, and I said, I'm going to go to the tree.
Mm.
And he said, Mom, are you sure? I said, yes, I have to do it. And I went there, and I don't know what I was looking for, you know, but it was like closure, you know?
Yes.
To that part, you know? And when I walk my little doggy, I go to the field, and I don't. I've been there maybe twice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. It gets better all the time. I mean, I don't want it to be a place for me to go or.
Right.
No, but it's very difficult because I'm right here. I can. You know,
yes.
And I talk to my son, you know. I don't know if that's right. So, well, look, Mom is going through this at the same time that you passed away. But, you know.
Well, you know, I think at issue is you can communicate to God whatever's on your heart, and the way I've thought about this ultimately is if you say something, if God wants your son to know, then then God will tell your son. There's something I'm going to mention to you. There's a passage in Psalm 119, verse 50. It says, "My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life."
Mm.
My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. That's Psalm 119, verse 50. And I've looked at that and I thought, isn't that wonderful that we can have comfort in suffering? That the suffering may be there, but there is a comfort, and it's what God has said. So, you know, we go then to what is his promise? Well, as you know, because of you being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've yielded your will to his will, we look at the 23rd Psalm, you know, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will" what?
"Yeah, no evil."
Yes, "for you are with me." Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because he's with you in the valley of the shadow of death. And we'll all go there. We all, you know, are at one time or another, we will be in that valley.
Mm-hmm.
But we can, if we've chosen to have Christ in us, mm-hmm. as the scripture says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, or with him on the inside,
mm-hmm.
then he's with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I've just thought of a verse I'm going to give you to hang on to that I like so much.
Okay.
And this was one that I love for me as well as for you.
Okay.
And that is Deuteronomy, Deut, 31, verse 8. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Now listen to this. This is great. Deuteronomy 31, 8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." I'm going to repeat it. "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." What do you think about that?
It's awesome.
Isn't it awesome? It is. I want you to say it in the morning. And sometime during the day, and then thank the Lord at night that is truth.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. You are dear, and you continue to hang on to hope.
Yeah, materials again. Don't forget the materials on cancer, also on terminal illness, and the materials on grief we've talked about tonight. 1-800-488-HOPE. Thank you for listening. I'm Jim Kress for June Hunt, and good night from Hope of the Night.